This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company. You can't have failed to notice that Iceland is about to have its second set of elections this year. The presidential election, of course, took place during the summer, but parliamentary elections are taking place this winter. In fact, in just a few weeks, on the 30th of November. In a few moments' time, we'll have today's episode of Oithskulith, the news in a simple form of Icelandic, and Bjarni standing by to bring us that. But I thought today, given that we are now in a slightly clearer position than we were a few days ago, I would ask my colleague here at RÚV, Bogi Austin, once again to run through where we are, as you did when the presidential election was imminent back in the summer. Bogi, thanks very much for your time today.
You're welcome, Darren, as always.
So, two elections in one year. We can maybe talk about whether that's unusual or not, but let's focus on the parliamentary election that is taking place. Mm-hmm. It could not have taken place any later than next autumn. Most people thought it would happen in the spring of next year.
Yes.
But now is a surprise.
It is a surprise indeed. We have known for a long time that there are internal, shall we say, problems in the government. This is a very unusual government, government of, we have not seen this type of government before, spanning the parties in parliament from the right to the left.
But in its second term, the coalition has won, if you want to put it that way, it's won two elections, hasn't it?
As a matter of fact, it was established in after the elections in 2017, when the political leaders said that they had extreme problems with forming a government. So in the end, they decided to have that broad coalition, which was chaired by Katrin Jakobsdóttir, who was prime minister for 7 years. The critics say that what they agreed on was basically doing nothing, not rocking the boat, not changing anything fundamentally, as some people want to change the farming system in Iceland, the agricultural system, we could say, or fishing.
Because on the face of it, these three parties, you're right, they didn't have much in common. The Independence Party, traditional sort of conservative party, the Progressive Party, a farmer party, agrarian party, and then the left Greens, and that sort of does what it says on the tin, doesn't it? So on paper, apart from none of them wanting Iceland to join the EU, I couldn't see anything else on paper that they agreed on.
No, you're right. Very many political analysts have pointed that out, that they don't have anything in common. Except for negative things, that's to say, what they don't want to do. They don't want to change anything. Well, at least very little. And they pride themselves on the fact that they have gone through very many serious problems.
COVID, of course.
Like COVID. Yeah. And several other things. You could say after COVID, inflation, economic problems, things like that. They have survived some pretty big storms, yes. Political storms, one can say.
We can say that the presidential election, in a sense, was a trigger for this election because Katrin, the prime minister that you mentioned, who was the leader of the Left Green, she stood down to run for president. She wasn't successful, but that seems to have hastened the problems within the coalition and the disagreements between the Left Greens and the Independents, certainly.
What we have seen is that and we have asked political leaders, and they have been willing to say off the record that if Katrin Jakobsdóttir had still been prime minister, the government would not have broken apart at this time.
She was the glue.
She was the glue, and she was a very good in man management, much better than Bjarni Benediktsson, who took over.
And who leads the Independence Party.
That's the critic, yeah. that's what the critics say. On the other hand, we don't know whether even she would have been able to keep the government together in face of problems that that have only increased. And we've seen certain factions of the Independence Party on the right becoming more and more dissatisfied,
yes, with,
and the same on the left. Another thing which has put pressure on the government and the government parties is that they are doing extremely badly in the polls. The Independence Party, I think, last time got the worst results ever. Traditionally, the Independence Party polled between 30% and 40% in parliamentary elections. And now they polled last time in 2021 just over 20%, 22%, 23%. But now opinion polls say that they might get as little as 12%, which is a disaster. I mean, they used to define a loss if they got anything under 30%.
Okay, so 12 would be, 12 would be a bad result.
It would be a disaster.
And it's not as if the other coalition parties are picking up support, because the Progressive Party, they're also doing very badly in the polls. Most opinion polls suggest that the left Greens, in fact, would fall below the 5% threshold and and would be wiped out in Althingi. I know you think that's maybe unlikely, that's a worst-case scenario, but the fact that it's a possibility for a governing party is pretty shocking.
It is pretty shocking, you're absolutely right. But we have to note that there are several polls that have showed that they only enjoy the support of 3%, 4%, 5% of the population, which, as you rightly point out also, will put them below the threshold. You have to get 5% to get a member of parliament elected. So they are in serious danger of extinction.
The parties that are doing well, the Social Democratic Alliance, which has been leading the polls for about 18 months, they're on about 26%. But the Centre Party seems to be in second place. Tell us about the Centre Party, because they're led by quite a well-known name.
Who is Sigmundur Davíð Gunnlaugsson, who used to be Prime Minister. He had to resign in 2016 after a scandal. And he split from the Progressive Party. He was chairman of the Progressive Party and established a new party, his own party, the Centre Party. That party is to the right of the Independence Party, if anything.
It's not in the centre, is it?
It is. It's a misnomer to call it a Centre Party, because it isn't in the centre. It's if there is anything that you can, what's it called, Nigel Farage's party?
He's had a few reform at the moment, at the time of going to press.
They have a lot in common. Critics say that Sigmundur Davíð is a populist and he is anti-immigration. So there are a lot of things that they have in common with right-wing populist parties in Europe.
So if you have these two parties, the Social Democrats and this party, the Centre Party, it doesn't sound like they could work together or would work together.
No, I think it would be very unlikely.
More unlikely than the Left Greens working with the Independence Party?
I think was a special case, special situation that led to the forming of the government in 2017, renewed in 2021, primarily at that time because the Progressive Party increased its support. The other two parties got less, they got fewer votes in 21 than they got in 17, but they took it as a mandate to continue.
Yes, because they could form a majority still with
they
those
could,
three
and
parties
They could, and they
together.
Even said before the elections, which is highly unusual in Iceland, because most parties say in Iceland that they will not make any alliances before
the
election.
So going into the election, voters aren't going to know if they vote for one party, whether that party will end up working with another party that they really don't like.
Absolutely not. Yeah. That's the problem with coalition policies.
Yes.
Whereas in Britain, you can say that a party has broken a manifesto commitment. You can't say that in Iceland, because they can always say that was a political necessity which happened during the coalition talks.
And coalitions are unusual in the UK because of the first-past-the-post system. Here in Iceland, there is the proportional representation system. I think it's De Hont, which is the variant of PR that is used.
Yep.
And it does mean that coalitions are kind of inevitable. Coalitions probably of three or more parties.
It used to be coalitions of two parties.
Yeah.
But now there's been a fragmentation in Icelandic politics, just like it has been in very many other countries. And now we have one, two, three, four, five, six, seven parties
in Parliament.
Yeah. And only 63 seats. The Independence Party, biggest with 17. And the Centre Party at present are the smallest with only two.
Mm. So a majority is 32. You've got to get 32 to form a government.
You have to have 32, but most political leaders, they want to have more than 32.
Yeah.
Because you always have the odd parliamentarian who doesn't want to support this or support that. So 34 or 35 is ideal. Mm. So that you have...
You've got safety.
You have safety in case somebody doesn't want to follow the party line. But this time, the Centre Party, well, most political analysts, they say that the Centre Party polling on up to 19%, that is probably almost everything. Almost everyone that says that they are willing to support the Centre Party would, in normal circumstances, have voted for the Independence Party. It is people on the right of the Independence Party who are dissatisfied with the government, dissatisfied with how many things they have had to sort of, how little they have, in effect, been able to form the government policy of the past 6 or 7 years. And that dissatisfaction has been increasing in recent months. There are several things that have added to that displeasure in the party.
Yes.
But and I think that's right. I think that when we count the votes on November 30th, I would be highly surprised if the Independence Party would get less than, say, 18, 19, 20%.
So we could still end up then with a situation where the Independence Party remains in power, but with the Centre Party and maybe with the Progressives as well. And I wonder if Centre Party voters who are unhappy with the Independence Party, how they would feel about voting for one party and again ending up seeing their vote used to prop up the party that they don't like anymore.
Well, people in Iceland are used to that,
unfortunately.
Yeah. And particularly people on the left, on the far left, environmentalists, and leftists that supported the left green, a lot of them are very, very dissatisfied with the government policy, which is one of the main reasons why the party is now below the 5% threshold.
And maybe on the left, we should talk about the Socialist Party. I think they got just under 5% in the last election, so no representation. But if they break that 5% threshold, maybe with people moving from the left greens to them, you could see the Socialist Party replace the left greens in Parliament. But getting to 32, getting to that magic number, is going to be fascinating to watch. And of course, without getting too much into the weeds here, nine of the seats, rather, are so-called balancing seats, and they can appear and disappear over the course of election night, can't they, to ensure a proportional result. So people can get elected and then unelected to the Parliament over the course of the evening.
Which makes for a very exciting election night and election broadcast, because you can have a right or a left-wing majority in Parliament which changes all the time. But the lines in Icelandic politics are never that clear.
No.
If you were to force me to make a prediction, I would...
I'll invite you to make one.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that the Social Democrats will form the next government. They will be... they will have the Prime Ministry and I think that I would the political situation as it is at the moment would say to me that neither the Centre Party nor the Independence Party would be part of that coalition.
Mm. Okay.
So it would be led by the Social Democrats, and almost all the other parties would be part of it.
So you'd look to Viðreisn, which is a centre-right party, but it's also in favour, like the Social Democrats of Iceland, at some point joining the EU and adopting the euro. Mm. The Pirate Party, I know, are kind of agnostic on this. They don't have a view either way. So you could imagine maybe that as a coalition if there's enough support to get to 32. And just on the European question, it doesn't seem to be a live issue, but it is still, the last time I looked, it was the stated policy of the Social Democrats and of Viðreisn that they support Iceland joining the euro and the European Union. Mm. How live an issue is that? Would that become an issue again in that sort of electoral result, do you think?
No, the Social Democrats have made it less of an issue. It used to be a centerpiece of the policies, but it isn't anymore. In a sense, I think the party has gone nearer to the line that the Danish Social Democrats have taken in recent years with very good results. So I think that the only party for which this the European question is a real question and a centerpiece of the policy is Viðreisn reform. Mm. They split from the Independence Party because of that question in 2014.
Are they the most actively pro-European?
They
party,
are
then?
Actively pro-Europe. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. And it is the most important question, the most important policy from their perspective, I think.
Okay. Well, we'll see if it comes up as an issue, because, of course, we're just in the foothills of this campaign. As we sit here on Thursday, very briefly, I know we're a bit pushed for time, but what happens next then? We know that Parliament is going to be adjourned, but I think committees are going to continue so that the work of government doesn't fall apart completely.
No, I think it's mainly the finance committee, because they have to.
And the budget's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah. The budget has to be, well, it doesn't really have to be, but all parties agree that they would like to pass the budget. That is the main thing that Parliament has to do. I don't think there will be anything else in Parliament. Maybe the odd case will pop up, but otherwise it will be the budget and nothing but the budget.
Right, but we know now that it's happening because the President has said that the election can happen on the 30th of November. That's it basically called. We're not going to see, as we did in the UK, the Prime Minister standing outside his home in the pouring rain with the theme song of his opponent playing in the background or anything, are we?
No. I'm afraid that British politics can be a lot more entertaining than Icelandic politics usually.
One word for sure. Okay, there is much to follow, of course. We'll follow it all here on RÚV and across RÚV English as well. And I guess that on the night you will be a key part of the coverage.
That hasn't been decided yet. Officially, I'm retired.
Try keeping you away.
I've been saying for the past 3 elections, I think. This is my last election broadcast. Nobody expected parliamentary elections this fall.
No.
Next spring, yes, but not this fall.
How long could it take on the night then before we know? Is there an exit poll, firstly?
No, there is no exit polls, exit poll like it is in the UK and in most other countries.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but we do get a very good Gallup poll, which is taken on the Friday before. That normally gives very good indication of what the results will be.
But if there is all of this horse trading and it comes down to a single seat either way, maybe one of the balancing seats, I mean, how long could it take before we can say this is the government, this will be the Prime Minister?
Well, that will take a long, long time. We will know the final tally maybe not until 7 o'clock on Sunday morning.
On the Sunday morning, okay.
And then we have the negotiations between the parties. The president will have the president's role will be to point to some of the political leaders. One of the political leaders say that will you try to form a government? Normally, that falls to the biggest party. Sometimes it is the party that has made the biggest gains, but otherwise, normally it is the biggest political party. And if the polls are right, that will be the Social Democrats.
Much to look forward to. Very exciting times ahead.
Kristrún Frostadóttir, leader of the Social Democratic Party, will in all likelihood be the next prime minister.
Okay, you heard it here first. No, we're not going to hold it to you, though.
No.
We're not recording this conversation or anything. Borgi, thanks very much indeed. Borgi Austin, my colleague here at RUV. It's RUV English Radio. As promised, here's today's episode of Oiskilith. Joining us today, Bjarni here once again as we guide ourselves through in a simple form of Icelandic a recent news story. And the last time we spoke, Bjarni, I think we discussed the story of the ill-advised consumption of mushrooms.
Exactly.
Remember that?
Yes.
We're staying on a food theme today, though. I don't think mushrooms appear in this story. I'm not sure.
No.
Maybe they will. Maybe they'll surprise us. This is the story of the advice which is around to help us all eat a bit more healthily. We'll put a link up to this on the page accompanying the show from RUV English Radio. Of course, you can follow along with this text in Icelandic, and there is a lot of useful food vocabulary here, which we're going to get into in the story. So we'll go through this from the top, and then we'll go back to the start and go through it line by line. So take it away, Bjarni.
Matur hefur hækkað mikið í verði undanfarið. Á sama tíma fáum við margar mismunandi upplýsingar hvað við ættum að borða. Margir halda að hollur matur sé dýr. Það ekki rétt. Það hægt að finna mörg næringarík matvæli á góðu verði. Guðrún Nanna Egilsdóttir næringarfræðingur. Það þýðir að hún veit mikið hollan mat. Hún segir að það sé best að velja sem mest óunnin matvæli. Óunnin matvæli matvæli sem hefur ekki verið breytt mikið. Dæmi óunnin matvæli heilkorn, egg, baunir, belgjurtir. Belgjurtir plöntur eins baunir og linsur. Guðrún segir líka að það sé mikilvægt að skipuleggja vel matarinnkaupin og eldamennskuna. Þannig hægt að koma í veg fyrir að henda mat og spara peninga. Hún segir að það sé gott að geyma matinn á réttan hátt, nota afganga eins vel og hægt Guðrún gerði lista yfir 10 næringarík matvæli sem ódýr. Þessi matvæli gott að eiga til. Þau passa vel við ráðleggingar hollan mat. Hér listin. Linsubaunir og aðrar baunir, hafrar, egg, kotasæla, kartöflur, frosið grænmeti, frosnir fiskbitar, bananar, skyr, hnetusmjör. Guðrún segir að það sé gott að elda mikið í einu. Þá hægt að frista matinn eða taka með sér í nesti daginn eftir.
So some good advice on how to eat healthily and some hopefully helpful tips on how to say the words of the foodstuffs in Icelandic as well. So let's go back to the start and we'll break this apart line by line.
Já, matur hefur hækkað mikið í verði undanfarið. Food has risen in cost lately, that's then, yeah, the price of food has risen lately.
No one arguing with that.
No, sadly not. Á sama tíma fáum við margar mismunandi upplýsingar hvað við ættum að borða. At the same time, we get or we receive a lot of different information about what we should eat. Margir halda að hollur matur sé dýr. Many think that, well, wholesome or nutritious food is expensive. Það ekki rétt. That is not true. Það hægt að finna mörg næringarík matvæli á góðu verði. It is possible to find many nutritious types of food in good value or in good price. And there we see exactly that we can both talk about food simply as matur or as matvæli, food products or nutritious products. Guðrún Nanna Egilsdóttir næringarfræðingur. Yes, Guðrún Nanna, she is a nutritionist. Það þýðir að hún veit mikið hollan mat. That means that she knows much about healthy food. Hún segir að það sé best að velja sem mest óunnin matvæli. She says that it's best to choose as much unprocessed food as possible. Óunnin is then exactly the at least or less processed. And if we take the O off, we get unnin matvæli, processed.
Yeah, we find O being used as un
exactly.
a lot, don't
exactly.
we,
in Icelandic. Yeah. Óunnin matvæli eru matvæli sem hefur ekki verið breytt mikið. Unprocessed food are or is food products that have not been altered or changed much. Dæmi óunnin matvæli eru examples of unprocessed foods are whole corn, whole grains.
Whole corn?
Or
That's
even,
what was in my head when I saw
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Eggs, bönir, beans, belgjurtir, well, everything in a pocket, practically, it means, generally. So that is then belgjurtir, plants, bönir og linsur, like beans and lentils, etc. Guðrún segir líka að það sé mikilvægt að skipuleggja vel matarinnkaupin og eldamennskuna. Guðrún says also that it's important to organize well your shopping, matarinnkaup, and your cooking. Eldamennska is a funny word for cooking. Yeah, being a human by the stove or by the fire. using the fire.
Instead of being a robot.
Yeah, exactly.
To make sure you're a human next to the stove.
Yeah. Þannig hægt að koma í veg fyrir að henda mat og spara peninga. In that way, it's possible to, to run, well, not run against, but to find solutions for not throwing food away and therefore earn some money.
Yeah. Or save money.
Save money, save thank money. You.
Yeah,
save
yeah.
money. Hún segir að það sé gott að, she says that those are good to do, good tips, geyma matinn á réttan hátt, store the food in a proper and correct way, nota afganga eins vel og hægt use the leftovers afgangar as well as possible. Guðrún gerði lista yfir 10 næringarík matvæli sem eru ódýr. Guðrún made a list of 10 nutritious foods that are cheap. Þessi matvæli gott að eiga til. Those are handy and good to have in stock. Þau passa vel við ráðleggingar hollan mat. They fit well with the good advice on healthy food.
Healthy recommendations.
Recommendations, yeah. exactly, yeah. ráðleggingar. Hér listin. Here we have the list. Linsubaunir og aðrar baunir, lentils and other beans, havrar, oats, eggs, kotasæla, very famous, nice word we got for cottage cheese when that was introduced in the 80s or 70s.
That was a revelation, wasn't it? A friend of mine who's a food fan, a cheese fan, said it was like nothing had ever been seen before like this when cottage cheese arrived.
Yeah, and they made this Icelandic word of it, kotasæla, because kot is a cottage, small farm, and sæla is just like, well, ecstasy when you're really happy in your cottage. You eat cottage cheese.
Okay. But they didn't put ost at the end.
No.
It's cottage ecstasy.
Yeah, sæla. Yeah, kota sæla. Kartöblur, potatoes. Frosið grænmeti, frozen vegetables. Frosnir fiskbitar, frozen, well, pieces of fish. Bananas. Skyr, well, the famous Icelandic milk product, the somehow yogurt, the Icelandic skyr. And finally, hnetusmjör, peanut butter. Mm. Guðrún segir að það sé gott að elda mikið í einu. Guðrún says that it's advisable or good to cook a lot at once. Þá hægt að frista matinn eða taka með sér í nesti daginn eftir. Then you can freeze the food or the rest or take food packets with you the day after.
I'm delighted that peanut butter's on the list.
Yes,
I love peanut butter, so I'm pleased that's there.
Yes.
And also, why is the word for egg? Why is that unchanged?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I'm not even sure, Yeah, that's really exactly, totally same word still.
And it's a great word to start your learning journey on because it's so easy.
Very easy, yes.
All right, well, hopefully that's helped with your Icelandic a little bit and maybe your diet as well, who knows. Bjarni, thanks very much indeed. We'll talk again next week. It's Ruv English Radio. I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from Ruv English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Ruv English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Ruv.